Welcome back to the Health Longevity Secret Show, and I'm your host, Dr. Robert Lufkin. Today, we'll be speaking about the important and really underutilized science of Ayurvedic medicine and how it can dramatically improve our health and longevity. We're going to learn how to pay attention to gut health as well as circadian rhythms to dramatically lower our inflammation. So be sure and stay through to hear it at the end. Our guest for this discussion is Shivani Gupta, PhD. Dr. Shivani is an Ayurvedic practitioner and expert in fusing Eastern and Western practices that help our bodies achieve equilibrium. She completed her master's in Ayurvedic sciences and her PhD in turmeric. She is also the founder of Fusionary Formulas, an Ayurvedic company that helps people with inflammation and pain. If you are enjoying this program, please hit that subscribe button, or even better, leave a review. Your support makes it possible for us to create the quality programming that we're continually striving for. Also, let us know if there is a certain topic that you would like to see covered or a particular guest that you would like to hear from. And now, please enjoy this conversation with Dr. Shivani Gupta. Hey, Shivani, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's dive right in. Tell us, what is Ayurvedic health or Ayurvedic medicine, and how can that help us live better lives?
Sure. So most people have not heard of Ayurveda, and it's my mission to spread awareness of this incredible science. Ayurveda means the science of life. It's a whole system of health, healing, and medicine from India that's over 5,000 years old. And typically here in the West, we just haven't heard of it yet. But if you dive into Ayurveda, it's a lifestyle. It's a way of life that we can live every single day. It encompasses diet, nutrition, detoxification, circadian rhythm, self-care tools that are so profound for our overall health and detoxing of our body. It covers how we should sleep, how we should eat, herbs and spices that I call the super spices that can help us really up-level our health in a profound way. So to me, it's like this treasure chest, and I just want everyone to know it so we can pull tools from it as needed and build that vibrant health and that longevity that we all want.
Okay, let me try it again and see if I can pronounce it correctly. Ayurveda, right?
Yes, everyone better. Pronounces it different. It's Ayurveda.
Ayurveda, that is great. Well, I'm so looking forward to hearing about this today and diving deep with Ayurveda. But before we do, you have such a fascinating story and your backstory, how you got interested in this area. You're the only person I've ever met or even heard of who has a PhD in turmeric. So yeah. I'm really, you're a world expert on that. So I'm looking forward to doing that too. But maybe tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I grew up in Houston, Texas, to an immigrant family, like so many of us who have that American dream story. And my parents worked so hard to give us an incredible life. And we'd go to India every year to see my grandparents, my cousins. And every time I went to India, I would get disastrously sick, like that kind of sick that a lot of people get when they go to India because they ate the wrong thing or had a bite of chutney and it took you down. And so I remember growing up thinking, why does everyone else have an immune system that works, a body that works, but I've been given this like defective body? Something has to change. And I saw that and a lot of horrible family history. So every time I went to India, people in my family would have diabetes and end up having like the end stages of that with their leg being cut off, with heart attacks, like just too many bad signs. And so I kept thinking something has to be done. Like I have to do something active for my health. I'm not like everyone. And if that's the train wreck that's coming for me, I better create a change. And so luckily on those trips to India, I finally discovered Ayurveda. And I was like, wow, there's a whole system around building gut health and building an immune system that works. I need this thing. And once I applied it to myself and fixed my gut health and built an immune system of steel, I realized, okay, this is my passion now. Let me take it further. And so I did my master's in Ayurvedic sciences. And then when I learned about turmeric, which I know turmeric's great, but when I learned about how potent turmeric is for all the issues I saw, for immune health, for inflammation as a root cause issue, I was like, I have to study this thing. So now I'm a turmeric evangelist. I like to tell everyone turmeric's the best thing.
Well, that's so fascinating. So Ayurveda is, it arose in India, as you say, thousands of years ago. And now you have an advanced degree in turmeric and Ayurvedic studies. You're obviously, we talked before the podcast about your husband is a medical doctor, and you've many family members and medical doctors as well. So Ayurveda in India, is it like a parallel system, sort of like Chinese medicine in China, where you have Western doctors and then Ayurvedic Eastern doctors? Is that the way it's done, and sort of the combination of those and the crossover then?
Yeah, it's right? Interesting. It's interesting that you ask it. So Ayurvedic medicine was always there. It's our traditional classic form of medicine. And then I think when Britain moved into India and colonized, which it did across the world, the British system was adopted, which is the Western allopathic system that developed. And so that was the way for a long time. And then now in this last decade or so, you're seeing this huge resurgence of respect and following homeopathic medicine again, looking to Ayurveda. So there are Ayurvedic hospitals, there are Ayurvedic medical doctors in India, and there are hospitals that have the hybrid of both. And so it's really cool to see how much people are turning back and saying, you know, yoga is so important, pranayama and breathing is so important, and Ayurveda's wisdom. And yoga is a sister science to Ayurveda. So that same philosophy around who we are and bringing alignment to body, mind, and spirit is in yoga and Ayurveda both.
Yeah. Now with Ayurveda, you've mentioned about some of the components of it and how that can help. And one of the ones you mentioned is circadian rhythm. And that's something we think about from Western medicine, but how does that tie into, first of all, what is circadian rhythm for our audience? And then how does that tie into Ayurveda?
Sure. So Ayurveda created circadian rhythm. And that's part of my mission, is to give Ayurveda the credit where it's due. Ayurveda created tongue scraping, oil pulling, a lot of these things we're talking about in modern day times as biohacks and fun tools. They came from this ancient wisdom. We're just pulling from these treasure chests of knowledge. And so circadian rhythm is chronobiology. It's the study of the fact that our cells have a clock. We are living according to nature's clock. And we believe that we are just free to live by any clock we choose, but we're seeing so much disease that now people are studying and realizing, wow, nature's clock, the clock by which nature, animals, every other being lives by, also applies to us. And so there's three Nobel Peace Prize winners who proved that the circadian clock is valid. And that's when it became that much more of a topic of study and understanding across the world. But Ayurveda always taught us we should sleep by 10. 10 to 2 is the most important time on that clock for regeneration, for clearing out the old and bringing in the new, for clearing the lymphatic system, for clearing inflammation. They teach us how to wake up in the morning with the sun, how to eat when the sun is highest. So there's a lot of tips and tools and guidance that comes from Ayurveda that very much is a longevity-minded focus in our health that we can apply. And then once we apply that rhythm, like I really like to teach people how to build a rhythm in their life around their teas and their supplements and all the things that we can do, our diet. And once we have that rhythm, we're so vibrant in our health that the moment we get out of rhythm, we can tell something's wrong and we quickly can calibrate and fix it.
Now, I love what you said about the rhythms and in particular the circadian rhythm, let's say. Is it the same for, or is it similar for everybody? I mean, I get what you're saying. Oh, I get up when the sun rises, I go to bed when the sun goes down. But some people say, hey, I'm a night person, you know, I'll sleep till noon. Or is it something about that, that is there a health benefit for all of us doing similar types of chronological or circadian landmarks in our lifestyle choices?
you know, there are certain landmarks in the circadian clock that are true for all. You know, where we live according to our seasons, we are meant to live according to the seasons, the rhythm of the day, the rhythm of the moon, the rhythm of the planet. Those are kind of fixed laws that many of us try to defy, but then our health symptoms stack up and we quickly realize we need to make some changes. Now, in Ayurveda, there's a concept called the doshas, which are our individual mind-body constitutions. And so everyone does have a customization that happens in there where not all of us are meant to jump out of bed at 5-6 in the morning and push straight through the day. Some of us have a more kapha nature. Some of us are more pitta. So we have these three mind-body constitutions. And it's important to know yours, honor yours, have that self-understanding, and then run the rhythm of your day accordingly. So there is some customization there, but when people share that they're night owls, I usually say, look, you're just harnessing pitta energy, fire energy, which is what's strongest from 10 to 2. And if you go past midnight, of course you're going to have a second wind to keep going. But it's our job to discipline ourselves and wind back the clock and move ourselves as close to a 10 to 11 bedtime as possible, so that we can give the body that rest and rejuvenation we need, or we're never going to win at our inflammation and health.
So we have these rhythms, and there's a sense of consistency in these rhythms. And I know another thing that you've mentioned and brought up was an important part of this is also gut health. And what role does that play? I mean, we all know how important gut health is, but What is the Ayurvedic perspective on gut health? And what is Ayurveda able to contribute on that?
So Ayurveda has always taught us that gut health is all health. Like, gut health is the most central tenet of all of the things that we teach. And so gut health, we think of it as a campfire in our center. And that fire is to be tended, it's to be loved, it's to be managed carefully, because it is the center of life. It's our immune system, it's our energy, it's our metabolism. It's all the processes that matter most. It's assimilation and absorption and excretion. So it's something to be honored and revered and not taken for granted. So I love that about Ayurveda, because we have tools, we have gut resets, we have certain spices we use, certain foods we use. Based on the issue that comes to me, I'll tell people, look, this is the protocol for 3 days. This is the protocol for a week. But if we can heal our gut, then we've done the majority of the work towards having that vibrant health and that longevity that we want. So really, gut health is the most important central tenet that comes out of Ayurveda. And I think we have one of the biggest toolkits to deal with it compared to a lot of the other systems.
And with gut health, there's an increasing number of voices about gut health saying that one way to improve gut health is through just not eating all the time and giving your gut a rest. Does Ayurveda have a position on fasting? Is that a tool there? And what is the viewpoint of fasting, or not necessarily what you eat? We'll talk about that in a minute, but when you eat, what is the position there on that?
Sure. Fasting is definitely a piece of Ayurveda. So naturally, we teach in the daily rhythm, 3 hours before bed, stop eating. So normally, if you have to sleep by 10, you're done with dinner by 7. So if you're done by 7 and you don't start your day or start eating before 7 the next day, already a 12-hour fast is naturally built into the Ayurvedic system. You can push that further, 12, 14-ish. The other thing about Ayurveda, though, is we believe in a more moderate lifestyle. So sometimes I see people taking concepts like fasting and getting really extreme with it. I think that really comes down to your constitution, your body, your digestion. So fasting for a day has definitely been part of Ayurveda and the Indian culture. For a health standpoint, give the gut a rest is fine. But we don't believe in being so extreme that we are causing more problems. Like, we're putting a tax or stress on the body. So it's built in, but respected. It's both. Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we eat. What does Ayurveda say about what we eat, and what are the tools available for gut health with the supplements or spices and that sort of thing with Ayurveda?
Sure. So we teach that there's so much opportunity to look at what we eat and how we eat it to give us that optimal health that we crave. So Ayurveda teaches about the sattvic diet. It's spelled Sattvic, sattvic. But what it means is eating this very yogic diet where we look at, are we eating foods that are natural from the earth? Are we eating processed foods? Don't microwave your food. Don't damage your food. Don't eat old food, cold food. Don't eat leftovers that aren't good anymore, that are dead, that are lacking in prana. So there's so much wisdom around, like, if you're in my house, we have fresh food every day, and I don't allow leftovers past a day. I prefer that we only reach for frozen food in emergencies. Like, food is honored as that nutrient density, seasonal food, and love that we need to put into our body if we want our body to love us back. So there's so much there in terms of how you eat. I teach people never consume water within 30 minutes of a meal, before or after. You're going to turn off your digestion. You're basically pouring water on the campfire, asking the campfire to do its job at the same time. It doesn't work that way. So if you want to optimize digestion, there's simple habits that we can adopt from Ayurveda that will be a game changer regardless of what you're eating. Because in modern day times, a lot of us are going to eat our fun foods, our inflammatory foods. But Ayurveda also gives us powerful herbs and spices, turmeric, ashwagandha, cumin. There's so many spices that can support the digestive process, fix our digestion, fix our inflammation, and then let us move forward healthy.
Yeah, I'm hearing you say there are many benefits of Ayurveda on eating, but one is the type of foods natural from the earth. I'm hearing avoid junk food and
Yes.
processed foods, and
Yes.
which most of us eat all the time, unfortunately. So we've mentioned the circadian rhythm a little bit and the importance of the rhythms of life. And then we've talked about gut health a little bit. And each time you've mentioned the word inflammation.
Yeah.
And I think many of our guests have talked about inflammation as a fundamental underlying driver of almost all the chronic diseases that ultimately determine the longevity for most of us. So
True.
inflammation is pretty important. How does Ayurveda view inflammation and how we can improve it?
I, in all my readings of the ancient texts, never saw the word inflammation. I think it's a word that we have created or studied and understood in recent, more modern times. But in Ayurveda, if you just lived the lifestyle, you would not be inflamed. Like, it's inherently built that you wake up with nature, you are doing self-care that's detoxing, you are eating a beautiful, nutritious diet that is blessed that you have chosen to put inside of you. You are consuming healthy teas and herbs all throughout the day that assist with the digestion of your food. You are honoring that sleep is so important and you're sleeping on time. So it's almost like if you build the rhythm, you shouldn't have the inflammation. But in this modern day society we're living in, between the processed foods, the stressors, the toxins, the toxic burden the body is holding, there's so many aspects that come into play. And so the way I look at it is, our body is under attack at all times, between the chemicals that are produced, between the chemicals we're consuming, and between the mental inflammation caused by the sheer stress and work and burdens we take on as a society. And so I educate people on, we must actively reduce inflammation every day. We must actively take turmeric, take herbs, do things that are going to simmer down that inflammation, get it into check. So we're not all running around with chronic, low-grade, persistent inflammation that's wreaking havoc in our bodies. And then we're saying, oh, woe is me. I have this stack up of symptoms. This is aging. A lot of people tell me, I'm aging. And I say, no, that's inflammaging. That is inflammation wreaking havoc in your body, and you're complaining about it. But really, if you just reduced inflammation, you would see all of a sudden things would feel lighter, things would feel better. So that's how I like to teach it, is let's all choose to live an anti-inflammatory lifestyle to see what's possible when our body is in the right homeostasis and state.
Yeah, now the anti-inflammatory lifestyle, I want to drill down on some of the herbs and supplements you mentioned. But before that, What about stress? Obviously, is an important factor. What about, what does Ayurveda say about mental dealing with mental things and the psychological aspects of stress in our lives?
Well, the thing is, Ayurveda taught us to be in harmony. It's really a system of health and healing that says if we could be in harmony with ourselves, with others, if we can understand our individual mind-body constitution and thus see that in others and understand how to work with them, if we could keep our spiritual health on point, then our mental health and emotional health will be that much better. If we were eating foods that were sattvic, we have this peace from within us created. If we're eating foods that are causing anxiety and stressors and angst, then we need to adjust our own diet to be healthier. The gut-brain axis was not mentioned in Ayurveda, but Ayurveda said, heal the gut to heal all. And so when people tell me they have mental health issues, I'm like, of course, there's lots of ways to handle it. But I would always just start with some gut health, because maybe we need to support from within while we, you know, do therapy and all the other modalities that support it. Ayurveda said, look, we have an ability to be in harmony with nature, with the world around us. If we're in disharmony, that's going to be causing that dis-ease and disalignment that happens with the world around us.
And in India, as a country and the culture associated with it, has a huge tradition of meditation and that sort of thing. And I just signed up for my first week long intensive meditation retreat, which I've never done before. So I'm nice. I'm very curious. I'm perking up about it, meditation now, and also. Does meditation play a role in Ayurveda, and what does Ayurveda say about meditation?
So within Ayurveda, we teach the 12 self-care rituals to do every single day for vibrant health. And we call that dinacharya, the daily rituals that we should live by. One of them is wake up and meditate. Like, it's part of our daily rituals. Wake up, meditate. When you brush your teeth, use a tongue scraper. Do oil pulling. Oral health is all health. We dive into yoga. We dive into self-massage, which is Abhyang massage, which is very grounding. So there's these 12 steps. I can't do them all in the morning because I have kids to get to school. So a lot of times I take them and I put them in the evening as my bedtime ritual, as part of my sleep hygiene and sleep ritual to invest in better sleep. But meditation, deep breathing, pranayama, all these things are meant to be daily. And I think if we can build the rhythm of doing them at some point in the day, I teach everyone, look, let's make it easy. Let's make it doable. Let's not make it about perfection. I don't meditate every day. I am not perfect, but I make sure that at some point I could be blow drying my hair and I forgot to meditate in the morning. I'll say, you know what? Right now, just take 2 minutes and tune in and recenter and ground and get that peace you need. Or I'll be driving. And I'll say, okay, I'm not taking any phone calls or music for this 20-minute drive. I'm just going to totally zen out and tune into my intuition. So a lot of Ayurveda is teaching us your own intuition has the answers. You just need to train yourself and your intuition to communicate that with you.
You're about the third person I've talked to recently that's mentioned tongue scraping, which is something I have to confess has been completely off my radar for a long time, but I'm going to look closely at it. Yeah. Any pointers for a beginning tongue scraper?
Yes.
Like so myself?
I think I will be more well known on this planet about tongue scraping than turmeric, which is going to be funny, but I mention it and it's an easy habit to adopt. So tongue scraper, you just buy one on Amazon or anywhere. I have one on my website, but there's copper tongue scrapers. We recommend copper because it's an antibacterial metal. So it stays clean over time. Not these like toothbrushes and modern plastic ones we're coming up with nowadays. Metal tongue scraper, please. It can be steel. It can be silver. It can be copper. You take it and you gently scrape the tongue. Don't gag yourself. So you gently scrape the tongue 7 to 14 times in the morning. And on the tongue, any Ayurvedic practitioner would deep dive into looking at your tongue and making sure, do you have this white film on your tongue? That white film indicates ama. Ama is AMA, but ama means toxins in the body. This accumulation of toxins that most of us have is there sitting on the tongue. And so by scraping the tongue, We're actually gently massaging all the organs of the body, similar to reflexology on the feet is thought to impact all the organs of the body. And so when you do tongue scraping, you're massaging all the organs of the body, you're detoxing them, and you're removing that toxin film that exists inside of all of us. So it's a very powerful self-hygiene ritual. It's pretty much free because you can buy that one tongue scraper and it lasts for life. It also ignites the digestive fire in the morning. So it opens up that campfire and gets it ready to churn and burn what we're going to eat and use all day.
So the practice would be in the morning before or after brushing your teeth?
I do it after.
After. Okay. And that I get that all the toxins accumulate from the night before. And that's great. So the tongue scraping, definitely going to go to your website, and we'll talk about your website later at the end, how to get there. But the one thing I haven't heard other people recommend to me, at least, is oil pulling. Although I think I know what that is. I've seen it in Ayurveda practices before. Is that something that you do yourself, or is someone do to you, or what is the setup for oil pulling, and what do you recommend for that?
So oil pulling is easy. You take any food grade oil, any organic oil, it could be almond oil, coconut oil. In Ayurveda, we love sesame oil for everything. We think it's the king of oils. It's antibacterial. It's very good for the body. It's very nourishing. It has vitamin E. So it has a lot of properties to it. So we use sesame oil for everything. You can buy sesame oil that's not been there's cooked sesame oil. You want raw, filtered, clean sesame oil that's organic, which you can buy at the health food store. But basically, you take about 2 tablespoons of oil, put it in the mouth, and hold it in your mouth for 5 to 20 minutes. Somewhere towards the end of that timing, you're going to swish it around the mouth. So you're just going to move it through your gums, through your teeth. And what it's going to do is it's going to collect all those toxins. Our oral microbiome ties directly to our gut microbiome. And so the more you keep this clean, the more you're supporting your gut microbiome as well. You're supporting how you eat, how well you taste your food, according to Ayurveda. And so I recommend every day, if you can do it, but make sure when you spit out that oil, you don't throw it in the sink, the shower, or the toilet. It has to go in the trash because you will ruin the pipes of your home. You'll clog up the pipes. So that's a little pro tip. But oil pulling is very beneficial because we're going to take all that toxins and junk and accumulation and get rid of it. So we're thus reducing that toxic burden of the body.
Yeah, that I was imagining oil dripping on my forehead on a massage table or something, but oil, I get it, oil pulling to pull the toxins out. And I like the fact that that you spit it out at the end with the toxins, because people who are concerned about seed oils and linoleic acid may not want to swallow some of those, but either way, so that's great. And that's just in the morning, right? Once a day. Is that what you recommend?
That's what's preferred. Ayurveda taught all these things for the morning. But again, I believe in being practical. So if it's on the weekend only, and that's when you start, and that's when you have time, fine. If it's only in the evenings before bed, and that's your nightly ritual, also fine. But yes, it's taught to be a habit for the morning.
Yeah, I mean, we're learning so much about the mouth now. All the evidence is coming out with, and I've commented that I've stopped using mouthwashes because of their antibacterial effect. And these oils, this seems like a much more benign way of giving your mouth health that doesn't destroy your nitric oxide production or the bacteria of your normal flora. So that's really appealing there. So I'm going to put that on there as well. Awesome. On my list. Now, as far as anti-inflammation, you mentioned several possible things we can consume. Maybe you could go through some of them, or maybe just start with ashwagandha. That's one of my favorite words. I love saying it. And it's such an amazing, amazing compound. Anyway, tell us about that one. Then we can go to some of the other ones.
Sure. So ashwagandha is an adaptogen. An adaptogen just means that the body knows how to take it and use it where it needs to go. So adaptogens like ashwagandha, if we're stressed and anxious, they'll calm us down a couple notches. If we're suffering from the blues or depressed, it'll lift us up a couple notches. It truly goes in there and functions like a thermostat to do what it needs to do. And ashwagandha is like one of those very powerful, potent adaptogens that we have available to us that supports people in different ways. For some people, it supports their sleep because it's so calming. It helps them relax for sleep better. For some, they can take it in the morning and it's going to calm you down a few notches to deal with the stresses of the day and help you stay focused and calm to get your list done. So everyone takes these things differently. I think ashwagandha is so powerful. Turmeric is so powerful. Ginger is so powerful. So we can have like a mindful medicine chest. I call it a pharmacy, F-A-R-M. So this pharmacy that's available that has all these natural tools in it. And then we can make a tea out of it. We can make us, you know, we can take a supplement for it. We can reach for what we need to based on the phase of life we're in or the week that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I love the idea of an adaptogen. It's sort of like ginseng in Chinese medicine is sometimes classified as an adaptogen. It's sort of, like you say, it goes in and fixes whatever needs to be fixed. And ashwagandha is similar to that. Now, the other drugs you mentioned, or drugs or compounds you mentioned, talk about those. How do those help with inflammation? And what do you recommend? What does Ayurveda say about those?
Sure. So, you know, whenever people talk about superfoods, I kind of laugh because as an American, I'm super into superfoods as well. And whenever I went through the list of superfoods to look up the benefits, I was like, okay, you want me to eat maca root? You want me to eat all these weird things I've never had before? And I bought all of them and they look kind of gross sometimes. So I'm always like, well, let me go look up the benefits. A lot of times it's antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. And I always read that and I was like, okay, fine. Well, why am I taking 10 different things that give me an anti-inflammatory antioxidant benefit? Like what is one thing that can get me there? So that's why when I studied turmeric, I was like, okay, if this one thing will give us all that benefit, then we're winning just by taking the one thing. It makes it easier because we can't always do every single health habit. So turmeric, the reason I'm so passionate is not only a very powerful anti-inflammatory and a very potent antioxidant, it's also antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral. It does so much in the body. I'm part of a team that's researching why is it so well received from our body? Like, why is it showing up that every receptor in the body can receive it almost? But to me, it does the job so well. I just rely on the turmeric to do it. Then I don't have to do this whole superfood chasing thing that a lot of us are doing, putting everything in our shakes. So turmeric to me is a powerhouse. Ginger is another great powerhouse. When people take their turmeric, I want them to take it with black pepper or a healthy fat for absorption. The way I explain it is fresh turmeric has benefits. A lot of us are into the fresh solutions, but when you dry it and put it in spice form, it's more potent. And when you take the extract out of it, curcumin, it's that much more potent. And so a lot of people are spending their time sprinkling turmeric on their chicken, but not using black pepper, not adding the healthy fat consciously. So we're not getting the results that we want. Or there's this modern trend, like make it a latte. Well, if it's a skinny latte, it's not absorbing. We're just wasting our time, wasting our effort. So I really want everyone to know turmeric's a powerhouse. You can totally win taking turmeric, but take it in that very potent form. It will drive the result you want, reduce that inflammation, and then we're winning at our health.
So for the turmeric, and as we said earlier, your PhD is in turmeric. Yeah. I have to ask, what did you do your thesis on?
It was literally on turmeric and all the different ways it can impact each disease pathology of the body. So we went into all the different systems, brain health, heart health, gut health. And now British Journal of Medicine just published a new study on turmeric and PPIs and how they're equal. So to me, I loved diving into the science of how does turmeric impact wound healing? Because then plastic surgery can use it. How does it impact our chronic joint pain? Then orthopedics can use it. Okay, how does it affect a lot of the autoimmune people issues that people are dealing with? Okay, let's talk to rheumatology. So to me, I love understanding how we can push forward science to prove what Ayurveda already said thousands of years ago. Ayurveda's already said all this. We're just catching up with the science to validate what we've been practicing.
And so for turmeric, you mentioned curcumin, and some people don't understand the relationship between those two. Are they the same thing, different formulations? Could you talk about that?
So out of the entire plant, only 3% of turmeric is the curcuminoids. out of that 3%, the one curcumin is the most effective at reducing inflammation. So a lot of times people are buying supplements and when they read the label, it'll say curcuma longa. And they're like, amazing, 1500 milligrams, curcuma longa, sure. Curcuma longa just means turmeric. It's the name of the plant. So it's funny, if you really finally read the labels, some people forget the black pepper. Some people are giving you curcuminoids and a lot of turmeric. To me, I was very focused on, if we're going to take turmeric, let's take it in the dosage that'll like really drive a result so that we're really going after the issues that we have in our lives. And then we're truly going to prevent inflammation from running rampant. Because what people don't realize is chronic, low-grade, persistent inflammation, it's kind of like this forest fire. And if we aren't going to take a fire extinguisher and go after it, we're just going to leave this fire unchecked. And then we've got this permanent damage. And then we're trying to backtrack from it, but it's too late.
Yeah. And I would suspect that a lot of the common drivers that turmeric and curcumin help that affect all of the chronic diseases almost is inflammation, right? And so if you turn down inflammation, there's a dramatic effect on that. Do you use any markers for inflammation in your patients that you, now getting onto sort of your practice, do you follow like C-reactive protein or anything, or is it more subjective and how they're feeling, that kind of thing? You know that the dose is right for the turmeric, I guess, and the other medications or the other supplements.
When I sit down with people for Ayurveda, it's more of an Ayurvedic lifestyle practice. So I look at what are the issues going on. If there's a serious medical issue, I send it out. I know such incredible doctors across every subspecialty. And I'm like, you need to go to them. Go get that data. Go get your diagnosis and go get a treatment plan. Like, let's be honest about what's happening here and understanding what's really going on under the hood. Now, what's interesting to me is once you understand what's wrong, there's still an entire lifestyle practice that needs to be put in place, or we will keep causing the problem that's there. We all come in with certain templates, certain genetic predispositions, certain habits that we've learned from our parents around sleep and food. And so I like to look at that and say, okay, you're inflamed. Let's start you on an anti-inflammatory protocol. That's easy. I can show you eat food, sleep, supplements, herbs, teas, how to approach that, how to build the right rhythm. And then we can go from there. So for me, women come to me with all sorts of health issues, a lot of it menopause, perimenopause, chronic joint pain, autoimmunity. And I'll say, look, if you have the right toolkit, you can really resolve this and put your body back into homeostasis. But I like to do it in partnership a lot of times with great practitioners.
Yeah. And you mentioned a lot of lifestyle things. And also for the turmeric, the dosage, I want to just emphasize those again. There's certain ways that we should take those to be most effective. What dose do you recommend, or is there a standard that someone should do it? And could you go over that just one more time?
Sure. The literature says 1,000 milligrams of curcumin a day with 8 milligrams of curcumin a day. And so in my formulations that I developed, I did 500 milligrams of curcumin per capsule with the 4 milligrams of black pepper extract. So I consider that a very good standard dose to get a result. Now, if someone's dealing with massive joint pain, sometimes I'll talk to them and say, look, you can increase. We can take, the literature shows that they've done studies, we can take up to 8 grams of curcumin a day safely. 8 grams. So because we can take so much, 8,000 milligrams, we have wiggle room. So based on who I'm dealing with, if I'm seeing they want to keep their hand function, like their joint pain is so bad, they can take it up to 3 times a day or play with how much they're taking. But if you want to just be standard for everyone and be safe, you just start at the 1,000 milligrams a day.
Yeah, that makes sense. And this is you have a practice, this is available on your website and formulations. Is your practice available through telemedicine, or do people have to be in Florida?
No, I do both. I do both. Now I have people calling from California and different places. To me, each person is like, I like to investigate and understand what is that root cause issue you're dealing with? How does Ayurveda support you? If Ayurveda can support you, if not, let's use, you know, a functional medicine practitioner to dive in. And then once you know what's going on, we still have to address the root, which is that lifestyle that has to shift. And then about 8 years ago, I developed my supplement company, Fusionary Formulas, because I felt like if turmeric is going to be the thing I want everyone to have, I need to go find it in a form that I trust, that I know works. And so I went seeking like a really potent form of curcumin. And once I found it, that's what I've been doing, is just sharing, look, take it in the right form and the right potency to drive that result that you want. And then let's also talk about that anti-inflammatory diet and lifestyle, because you can't just take a supplement. You can use it to solve the current issue. Fine, get that inflammation down. But let's put the practices in place to maintain that result now.
Yeah, yeah, that's wonderful. Well, and how can people find your website and follow you on social media, Shivani?
Yes. So my website is shivanigupta.com. My other website is fusionaryformulas.com, F-U-S-I-O-N-A-R-Y. I have a podcast, the Fusionary Health Podcast, where I dive into health issues like this. And we made a special code for your podcast. It's Lufkin15. And so your listeners can get 15% off their first order at Fusionary Formulas.
Oh, great. Well, this has been so, so interesting. And I definitely want to have you back again so we could dive deeper in these areas. But, sure. But thanks for spending this time with us today, Shivani. And thank you so much for all the great work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is for general information and educational purposes only, and it's not intended to constitute or substitute for medical advice or counseling. The practice of medicine or the provision of healthcare, or diagnosis or treatment, or the creation of a physician-patient or clinical relationship. The use of this information is at their own user's risk. If you find this to be on the value, please hit that like button to subscribe to support the work that we do on this channel. And we take your suggestions and advice very seriously, so please let us know what you'd like to see on this channel. Thanks for watching, and we hope to see you next time.